Hey everyone, welcome to My Worst Date Double Date. We are so happy to be joined by one of our very good podcasting friends. This is Katie from Queen's Podcast.
Hello everybody, yeah. And thank you so much for having me. This is so much fun. I love you ladies.
Aw, we love you too, Katie. We met Katie a little bit over a year ago now in Austin, because you're based out of Austin. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
At the Outlier Podcast Festival. And then we reconnected recently in Denver. So we're just like jet setting all over the country, hanging out with Katie. And it's always an amazing time. Katie, can you tell us a little bit about your podcast?
I would love to. So I am the creator and co-host of Queen's Podcast. We are, me and my best friend host it. We mix cocktails with biographies of exciting women in history. And yeah, we're going on 7 years now. No sign of stopping. There is no shortage. It was really funny when we first started, people were like, are you going to run out of people to talk about? And I was like, no, history is long and over half the population has always been women. So we're always going to have people to talk about.
Yeah, I actually recently was, because I was considering doing something from like, you know, like an older period piece for Our Tainted Love. And I was looking at a queen, but then I realized that Christina or Keegan had already done it. And I was like, oh, shoot. And then, but I, when I was like searching on the podcast, of course, yours was the first one to come up. But then I also saw there was somebody else had done Queen Hatshepsut. Have you done her?
The ancient Egyptian queen? Okay. We haven't yet, no, but she's definitely on the to-do list. That'd be a really good one, yeah.
Katie, I really enjoy your TikTok. So if you're not following Queen's Podcast on TikTok, it's just little bite-sized bits of history and royal history, and it's just so delightful. You do such an amazing job.
Oh, thank you. I like y'all's TikTok, too.
Oh, thanks. Now, is Nathan so jealous that he can't be here today?
Yes, he wanted me to say hi to all of y'all, and I told him we would schedule something else where all of us can be together soon.
Yes,
definitely. Oh, absolutely.
Well, awesome. Well, we'll go ahead and dig in to dating stuff.
Yes.
Now, what is your current sitch? Are you dating, single?
I am married, and I have been with the same man for almost 14 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did the two of you meet?
It's actually a really cute story. Do y'all want the long version or the short version?
The long version.
Okay.
All the juicy details.
So he grew up in England, but his mom is from Minnesota, so he has dual citizenship. And after he finished college.
I bet you get to travel so much.
Yeah, I know. I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, I've been to England so many times. And I was like, I really shouldn't complain about that.
So bored of it.
I know. I was like, can't we go somewhere else? But no. So he had dual citizenship. And after he finished college, like it's pretty common to take like a gap year in Europe. And so he was like backpacking across the U.S. basically. There was back then there was this program that us as women probably would never do this. But as a man, he didn't think twice about it. There was this program back then where you could, I think it was like $1,000 and it was all the bus rides you could take on Greyhound for like 6 months
or something.
And so that's what he was doing. Wow. He was just kind of like hopping on a Greyhound and like staying at hostels and stuff.
I mean,
what
that's amazing.
Like.
That is one of, exactly. Like, that is one of the things that I think about that I'm like, oh, man, what a bummer that I'm not a dude, that I can't do stuff like that. Because solo travel and things like that have always been so intriguing to me. Like, I still want to do it, but you have to think so much more deeply about how you do it, where you do it, so that you can maintain like your safety. But man, I would love to do like a solo hike or a solo journey across the United States in Greyhound buses. Like that sounds
he
like
actually
such a
had
cool
two
adventure.
Friends with him though.
Oh, okay.
As well. Mm-hmm. But still, like I would never think to buy a Greyhound bus because I'm thinking about the creeps I'm gonna meet, you know, at stations
it's
at 2 AM or whatever. But
and buses are the creepiest. Yeah. As a former bus rider in Los Angeles, where that was my only mode of transportation for a couple of years, you learn very quickly the ways to try and avoid the creeps because buses are the creepiest.
Absolutely.
No eye contact.
No eye contact. Headphones, sunglasses.
I've never had a bad experience with the Austin bus. Back before Uber, I used to take it quite often and never really had a bad experience. But
they're nicer.
Maybe. But so that's what he was doing. And I, at the time, was dating a professional BMX rider. Like,
wow.
And I knew, like, I was like, I give this a month tops. Like, I was not serious about it. He was not a serious person. It was just fun, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he and I had a coffee date planned. And so at the time, I didn't live close to downtown Austin. So I drove downtown, found parking, and then text him. And he's like, oh, I'm going to be like an hour late. And so I almost just was like, fuck it. I'm going home. Yeah. Because that's my usual.
Hour is when people way don't too late.
Yeah. To when be. People don't respect your time, when people tell you who they are, listen to them. And if someone, mm-hmm. yeah. So I was like, oh, but I found this really good parking spot and it's a pretty day. And so I was like, I'm going to see if I can find something to do to kill some time for a couple of hours or for an hour. If not, I'll go home. If so, cool. I'll meet up with him. And so I'm crossing the street. And, this British guy just came up to me and said, hey, I like your sunglasses. And I said, oh, okay, this is something I could do for an hour to kill some time.
This will work. This will work.
And so me and him went and got coffee and just chit-chatted. And, he was like, I'm actually on my way to New Orleans. This is like a stop. And, cause they were coming from the West Coast, I guess. And I was like, oh, okay. And he was like, but you know, me and my friends will be back in Austin for like 4 or 5 days in a couple of weeks. Do you want to meet up whenever I'm back? And I was like, sure. And I gave him a number and, and then I went on a really boring coffee date with the BMX guy. Yeah.
And isn't it obvious when you have like that moment when you can just A-B test, you know, and you're like,
A-B testing. I've never thought about it that way. I love that. Yeah.
You're just like, ooh, yeah.
Yes, totally.
Definite difference here.
Yeah. And so then, I went home and was like talking with my roommate, who's still one of my dearest friends. And was like, yeah, I met this British guy, but like, he lives in England. I'm never going to talk to him again. And so anyway, we're married now.
I think that's amazing.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it's a really cute story.
It's fate, really. Yeah, like, it's like, it was meant to be, because what are the chances that you would be downtown, that you didn't just leave, that you found a good parking spot? You know, like, it's like, a million things could have gone just slightly differently, and then you wouldn't be married to this man.
Yeah. And I mean, it also works out really well that, you know, he didn't need to get any kind of visa to work here and live here. He is already a citizen.
Yeah, that's true. That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's how incredible. I met my husband.
that was like your worst date and best date combined into one.
Kind of. The date with the BMXer wasn't like horrible. We did have a bad date whenever like I quit dating him. But that's a whole different story. But like I was never that serious about it, you know. I was always just sort of like, oh, he's here for a good time, not a long time. So
yeah. Right. It's convenience. Exactly.
We've all had a few BMXers in our day, I think.
Sure. Sure.
We've had our version. Our version of the BMXer, which in my case was always a skinny musician.
Oh my goodness. Before I met my husband, he's the first guy I've ever dated that wasn't in a band or something. Like, I very much had a type of a guy with lots of tattoos and no job. And my husband is a very straight-laced, no tattoos, not in a band, steady job kind of guy. So
that was the universe stepping in, girl. That was the universe stepping in. The universe was like, honey, listen, we gotta turn this thing around. That BMX guy was like, I'm gonna be an hour late, and the universe was like, no, we're not doing this, not today, no more. Put this guy
mattresses on the floor. No more.
Oh my god, mattresses on the floor. Yep. I've been in plenty of those.
Yep.
No sheets. No, absolutely no sheets.
Just I would never go back to my mattress. 20s. Jesus.
Girl. It's so funny. People, I'm always shocked by people who are like, man, if I could go back and do it again. I'm like, why? Why would you?
No,
yeah, I love move forward from where you are. This is fine.
I love my standards I have now. It's great.
Yes. Having a job.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Gosh, that's so wild. Like, honestly, that was like Keegan said, like fate stepping in. Like, I just can't imagine like anything more. Like, that is the most interesting meet cute I've ever
heard. I know. It's a really cute story. Yeah. But like, right? Sometimes I just like, if I don't have time to tell the whole story, when people are like, how you meet? I just say downtown because it's just easier. Like,
just downtown Austin. Yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned like one of your red flags being like somebody not respecting your time or what have you. Do you have like other red flags, or did you have any when you were dating that you were like, well, nope, this is not gonna happen?
So I have one real ex-boyfriend. I've not had a whole lot of time being single in my life. I had one ex-boyfriend that I had for a very long time, and then about 2 years later I met my husband. So and he's a good man. I love him very dearly, but he, hopefully he doesn't listen to this, but he was so possessive, and it comes from a place of insecurity. And I get that now in my 30s, I get that. And he's a lovely, lovely man, and he has a lovely wife, and I don't have any ill feelings towards him. But after dating him, I was like, possessive maybe isn't the right word. Jealous. I was like, well, I'm never.
Also, he was in his 20s as well, right? Like, I feel like that's such a common trait. So I like, because I feel like you're giving a lot of caveats because you don't want to like come across as if you're bashing him or hurting his feelings. People grow and change. And I really do feel like men in their 20s, I think that that's a very common trait, that they are insecure. Like, there's some insecurity there. Yeah. They're new to dating. They found this person they're really excited about, they want to hold on to, and they get really jealous, right? Like, they get scared is really what it is. It's like they get scared. And I think that that's something that men do tend to grow out of. They don't always. Not every man grows out of that. But just because you're one way in your 20s doesn't mean that you're going to be that way forever. Exactly. Like, it's a learning experience. I did stuff when I was dating in my 20s. I was way more jealous in my 20s, you know, than I would ever be now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've just never been a jealous person. So, like, it's not something that, like, resonates with me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, after that, I was just like, because it was, oh God, it was just like sometimes walking on eggshells around him, just exhausting. Being like, I went to a party and these are all the people that were at the party. And like, it was just, and now like my husband now, because me and the ex both ended up moving to Austin because we're not from here. And like, we've bumped into him and his wife, and we will sit and chit chat when it happens and stuff. And it's, and I just know, I'm just so grateful that my husband is like, just really chill about it. He's like, his attitude has always been like, why would I, you're with me because you want to be with me. Why would I care if,
why would I be worried?
You're friendly with your ex. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So
honestly, there's nothing sexier than confidence.
Yeah.
You said it before. And that is just somebody who is like, I don't need to worry about that shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, my big ick, my big red flag ever since that relationship in my early 20s was jealousy. It's just not something I have time for in my life. So yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Oh, go for it.
Oh, sorry.
No, go for it.
I have a question for you. So you mentioned that you don't have a lot of dating experience. Neither do I. I kind of went from one serious relationship to another serious relationship. Now, one thing that I noticed about you right away whenever we met in Austin, because we were at the bar, we were having some drinks, and you have a Pisces necklace. And I was like, girl.
Oh my gosh, I remember that. It was so funny because I forgot I was wearing the necklace too. And Keegan was like, are you a Pisces? And I was like,
You were like, she's so
is
intuitive.
Is it just that obvious?
This is amazing.
She was like, you have the necklace on. I was like, oh, okay,
yeah. I'd like to think that it was my intuition clicking in. But I wonder if that's kind of like a Pisces trait, that like serial monogamy, that like very
maybe.
Quick, like, you know, when you know, and if you don't, it's kind of like a pass in the night kind of
maybe.
Situation.
I definitely, yeah, like I will definitely say, because I was single for 2 years. And I definitely, I mean, it was my hoe phase, and I don't regret. Mm-hmm. I think everyone needs to have a hoe phase if it's something they want to have.
Amen. Sure. I say that all the time. I'm actually going to do some needlework and make a, like, some...
A hoe phase? Yes!
Everyone needs a hoe phase. You learn so much about yourself. You learn...
What you like, what you don't like, mm-hmm. what gives you the ick, what, you know... Yeah. But I will say, Keegan, to what you were saying, though, I definitely... I haven't been on a whole lot of second dates because I was really bad about, like, if I wasn't feeling it within the first 20 minutes, I was never going to feel it.
Run.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that intuition. Yeah. I think it's just kind of this isn't for me. So, you know, we'll have fun. We'll hook up, we'll do whatever, but I'm not going to take this seriously until it's time to take it seriously.
Yeah.
And then it's like both feet in, we're doing this.
My Pisces ex was also a serial monogamist. Mm. So, like, when we broke up, he immediately was in another relationship.
Yeah. My Pisces ex as well.
Relationship to relationship. It wasn't, there was nothing casual.
My future husband, soon to be husband, Pisces as well, and very much, like, has had, like, just serious relationship.
Well, yeah. I felt that with Eric immediately, where I was just like, he's like, I like you, I'm into you, I'm serious about this, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? To a point where I was like, whoa, slow it down.
I was like, do it, girl.
I was like, not with my friends.
Get into it.
Yeah, Katie. So we met, like, in December, and I moved him in March. And that was a big topic of conversation. I had two opposing sides.
I was like, I don't know this man. Like, I don't know him.
Well, it seems to have worked out. And it seems like you knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When's the wedding?
November 4th. So coming up soups fast. I have a million things to do.
I did not miss being a bride. Oh, Jesus. My wedding day was beautiful, and I'm so happy that it worked out the way it worked out. Gun to my head, would never do it again.
Oh.
Yeah. Same.
If I find myself, you know, if Steve dies before me or something, and I find myself getting remarried again, we are going to the courthouse and then go out. Invite everybody to dinner afterwards or something.
You know, I recommend, I'm just like, my friends eloped. Like, she went with her husband. They went to Antigua. They just did it. They found some witnesses while they were there. And they had, like, a week-long vacation in Antigua. And I was like, that sounds incredible.
Yep.
Friend of mine did, so there's this service where this company, like, plans a vacation for you. And you don't know until, like, you get... to the airport, like,
surprise!
Where you're going. And I'm trying to remember.
Christina's like,
but yeah, a friend
not.
Of mine. A friend of mine did that for her wedding. Her and her husband, and like the company just planned it. Yeah, my husband, he's a Libra, so he is a planner. So when I told him about this, that my friend Rebecca was doing this to get married, he was like, "That sounds like torture."
Knowing
where they were gonna go, and like the company set up, like found a space for them to get married, and like hired an officiant and some witnesses, and they got married in front of like this lighthouse on this island. I can't remember where they went.
That's amazing.
It looked amazing, but also these people are very non-traditional people as well. And I was telling my husband about it, and he was just like, "That sounds like my worst nightmare." No.
Yeah.
I mean, could you tell the service?
For me.
Yeah, I think it sounds fun, but like, could you tell the service, like, these are the things we like, these are the things we don't like?
Yeah.
So if you were like,
you could tell them
cold weather, please don't send me to fucking, you know, Antarctica. Please.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yes. You could tell them, I want tropical, or I want, whatever. Yeah.
City or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, Christina is not, her Capricorn energy could. Fucking never. You would never.
Never.
Mm-mm. No.
Capricorns. No, absolutely not. One of my best friends is a Capricorn. I also think, I feel like Libras and Capricorns can be pretty similar.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they, Capricorns no. could never. Mm-mm. Too much planning. They love planning. You love yeah. a spreadsheet. You love an itinerary. I get
also,
it.
Also, it's just like as much as I'm like, you can like delegate. My control freak could never. I'd be like, no, I just need to make sure. I don't know if they're going to do it right. And of course, they're like a professional service. This they're is what like, they
this
do.
Is all we
and
do.
I'm like, no, but I think I could do this.
They'll do it better than and me. Then, I'll tell you that much. Be like,
yeah. And then it's like, it's that type A personality who's like, I'll just do it. I'll just do it. And then it's like, but I'm doing everything.
Yeah.
I always what am I think doing? I'm exhausted.
I always I think I want to do it.
Everything.
I think I want to do it until I'm doing it. And now I'm like, right. I'm so stressed that like I just, you know, I give the wheel, like, you know, Jesus, take the wheel. I can't. Jesus, I don't want to do it. Wheel. Like no. If I ever did it again, it would be completely like either, you know, something like that where like somebody else, I'm giving you a lump sum of money to send me on a vacation. You plan everything. Or just like hire a really beautiful photographer, like go to the top of a fucking mountain, buy a pretty dress, and like call it a day and have a party later. Like,
right.
Absolutely.
Wedding planning is so stressful. And everyone tells you, I feel like I need to like drive this point home because everyone tells you that like wedding planning is really stressful. And for some reason, you think you're going to be the exception. Like everybody is just like, I'm sure it can't be that bad. It's not fine. That hard. It's going to be fine. And then you find yourself like a couple months till the wedding and you're like, fuck it. I don't even care anymore. I don't care what happens. Just like
just putting your credit card down. Just like,
yeah,
fuck
you're like,
it.
Just pay it's for just, it. I don't care. Just pay for it. Well, I spent so much money in those last like weeks before the wedding because I was just like, what is it? Another $100? I don't care. Just sure, whatever.
Fine. My husband and I don't fight, but when we were planning our wedding, we fought. And so it's just like, it was just like over the dumbest shit too. Yeah. Like just the dumbest things. I'd be like, why did we just yell at each other about that? Like, what the fuck? So yeah, 0 out of 10 stars. Would not plan a wedding again. My wedding was beautiful. It was amazing. It was a really fun day. It turned out great, but never again.
Yeah. Honestly, we wouldn't be doing one if it wasn't for, you know, Eric's dad and stuff like that. Just like, it's important to him. And we even said, we're like, we're going to keep it super casual. It's going to be really, really easy. And yet here I am less than 2 months out, like, losing my fucking mind about.
Because it's a big party. And like, even if you try and keep it simple, and even if you only have like 50 guests is still a lot of people. And like trying to plan a party for that many people when people are traveling, especially, and like everything else, it's like, you've got to coordinate hotels and you've got to like do it's just it can end up when all you want to do is just like sit on the couch with some bugles and like watch fucking Sanditon or whatever. Like you're like, I do not care anymore.
Yep. Relatable.
I'm tired.
Oh goodness.
Oh man.
Well, I have a question for you, Katie.
Okay.
You do Queens podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm curious because I've listened to a lot of your episodes for sure and there's plenty to talk about. I want to know who stands out to you. Cause I mean, we're a state podcast. Who stands out to you as like the epitome of like worst relationship?
Oh God, goodness. There's a few, but the first that comes to mind, have y'all ever heard of a woman named Juana of Castile?
Oh yes.
Yes. I haven't done the deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they called her quote unquote crazy. I mean,
We have a sticker in our merch store that says Juana wasn't crazy. And then it says it in Spanish too, because she's from Spain.
Love it.
But yeah, she's known in history as Joanna or Juana the Mad or Juana la Loca, which we don't like. But no, she was head over heels in love with her husband, and he was a garbage monster person. And, he cheated on her like right in front of her and then would gaslight her. And
it's like Shaggy. It wasn't me.
But I saw say it wasn't you. Yeah. Yeah. I literally and like he would gaslight her. And historians believe now that she probably suffered from extreme postpartum depression because she was like continuously pregnant for like 10 years.
Oh my God.
And So, like, there was this one story that, like, she had her baby in, maybe she was in Spain or something, and he was in the Netherlands or something like that. So she had her baby, and he just kept writing, being like, you have to come home, you have to come home, you have to come home. But it really wasn't safe for her to travel so soon after having the baby, and she was just going to have to, like, leave the baby in Spain. And so she's finally like, well, my husband wants to see me. And remember, she is over the moon in love with him. And she's like, my husband wants to see me. I'm so excited. And so she travels when it wasn't safe. She travels through these lands that are, like, actually, like, France and Spain were fighting. So she could have been taken hostage and, like, you know, held for ransom because she was a royal person, you know, like,
right.
Travels, puts herself in all this danger. She gets there and catches him in bed with one of, like, her ladies in waiting. And so the story that makes her look so crazy is she then grabs some scissors and attacks the woman. And so that's supposed to be, like, a story about, like, how crazy she was. And I was like, no, to me, that sounds like a story about somebody who's been manipulated super bad.
Well, I mean, and
fullest limit.
Yeah. I know how grumpy I am when I get home from a trip. Okay. I'm like, this woman, how many, it's old timey travel. So it took her like,
and it's the 1500s. Yeah. So this would have been like on a horse or something.
On a fucking horse. I'm sore. Yeah. I'm pissed. I had to leave my baby. I just had a baby. Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine riding a horse with your sore vag after giving birth?
Absolutely fucking
there
not.
There had to be a carriage involved.
I'm sure she was in a carriage. I'm sure she was in a carriage. But regardless, those carriages don't look comfy. That's not the height of comfort, okay? Like,
no,
I'm not
like a Cadillac suspension going on it, right?
Right. She's I mean, maybe look, I feel like that reaction was appropriate.
Yeah. No.
You could go from the Netherlands. You could go
around. Yeah, I think that's where he was. I think he was in the Netherlands. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. It wasn't easy, and she shouldn't have done it. And then she got there, and she just fucking snapped. But
we gotta, pussy embargo. We gotta stop fucking trash men. That's for real. Like, you gotta, like, listen. Juana needed a good girlfriend who was like, look, he's trash.
Yeah.
Instead of one that was. Got in bed with the dude. That's terrible. Mm-hmm. Fact that it was one of her homies too.
Although you know what, I feel bad for that woman too because I'm like, you can't say no to a king.
All right,
what's gonna happen to you?
I can't.
Sorry, that's my friend. Like he'll cut your head off. It's the 1500s.
Yeah,
I don't trust that man.
So So that's the. I mean, there's lots of bad relationships in history, but that's the one that comes to mind first.
Yeah.
Toxic shit there.
I like that one that you told that one time, Keegan, with the little kid on Little Sebastian with the bow and arrow.
Oh,
a chick like burned down the entire town.
I'm pretty sure that, Katie, that your podcast has covered
You've
this as well. Olga
Kiev.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was one of my favorite tainted loves that I ever did. So I was like, that lady.
Savage.
Savage.
Oh my God. What?
Shouldn't have messed with her.
She's a saint. Like, I love Olga of Kiev. Oh.
She had to do what she had to do.
Was she the patron saint of Fafo?
She's a saint in like the Eastern Orthodox Christian religion.
Truly. Wow. Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, because she was.
I can't remember.
She like brought Christianity. Like after she got done killing all her enemies.
Yeah.
She was like, "Have y'all heard about this Jesus guy?" And so now she's a saint. Let's see.
He's super big about forgiveness. I love but I can't not have that image of the. Of him in his little like coat, like his little armor and sword,
right? Because she let her son, like her little baby son, like go on the battlefield. I think is something like that. That's where that comes from. It's been so long since we covered that story. It was years ago.
Yeah. Okay. So this is saying that she is the Ukraine's patron saint of vengeance, which I don't know if that's true.
I was right.
Appropriate.
Yeah, I think she is Ukraine's patron saint.
Amazing.
I love it. Listen.
Yeah. So
I love this for her.
I love this for her. She was a brutal bitch, and yeah, no one fucked with her after that.
No.
Well, look, listen, I have a lot. This is why your podcast is so great, because I clearly, like every woman we've talked about, I'm like, I'm on their side. Even the even the lady in waiting, I'm like, good for her. I'm on their side. You know what I mean? Because listen, I give so much latitude to women throughout history, especially in these time periods, because I'm like, they didn't have a lot of options. Maybe did Olga go a little too far, killing an entire village? Like, probably like a smidge, a skosh.
They did tear. They did tear her husband in half, though.
They tore him know the story about, in half.
The way that they killed her husband is they pulled down branches from two different trees,
yes,
and tied his ankles to the branches and then let them go.
Yeah,
you fuck around, you find out.
Listen. You can't do it. And
took around
and with women, when women are trying, and I'm sure that this is something that you talk about a lot, Katie, on your show, but it's just like, if you are trying to gain or maintain power without getting like manipulated or killed or having something like that happen, sometimes you got to be a brutal bitch. You got to show them that they can't fuck with you. Like, yeah, look,
absolutely.
It's like hitting the biggest guy. You know, like, you got to hit the bully as hard as you can so that everybody knows I'm not
Show
the one.
Everyone, I'm not the I'm one.
Not the one.
And today is not it's the okay. day. Yeah.
Not the day.
Absolutely. There you go.
I think another crossover we did was the Marilyn incident. Didn't you guys do that?
The Marilyn incident. Yeah. Well, we covered Cece of Elizabeth of Austria, and that was her son in the Marilyn incident.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we did a deep dive into it on Patreon. What a fucking horrible story. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Cassie, I think you covered that one, right?
I did. On ours. That was one I did.
That's awful. That makes me so sad. Like, that poor girl. Poor everybody in the story. But I mean, that's the, I do think, though, that story is interesting for the domino effect it had to kind of start World War I.
Yeah.
It's like, if he would have been alive, Franz Ferdinand wouldn't have been the next in line. And then, maybe he wouldn't have been
assassinated.
I love historical domino effects like that.
I know.
And
I think too, the one thing that I love about your podcast, Katie, is like, really kind of before you guys came into the scene, the only history podcasts that were out there were like, I don't know, like Dan Carlin, you know, or like a lot of people talking about, you know, World War I or like men, you know. So getting to get this perspective.
It's the history genre is a sausage fest. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I do have to give props, though. There's this podcast called The History Chicks. They are the, I call the community of history, female history podcasters, the history girlies. They are the OG history girlies. They've been doing it for like 12 years now or something.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like, basically, I ripped off their show, and I've told them this. I'm like, I just wanted to do your show, but with dick jokes and alcohol. And they were like, yeah, there's space for us all. Because they're very, like, family-friendly. Yeah.
That's lovely. Yeah. I do. Yeah, I love that about the podcast community, is that not always, you know, there's always going to be certain people who do certain things. But in general, it is such a collaborative community. It's so different than a lot of other kind of like media spaces, like artistic media spaces, where you can meet somebody who inspired you and tell them that they inspired you. And they're usually pretty like welcoming, you know, and are very like, there's room for everybody at the top, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's true. There really is. And I think that that's something that, you know, I know the three of us have always been, that's always been on our radar. Like, you know, any step forward, we want to pull people with us. You know what I mean? Like, we've all been out here plugging away, doing, you know, doing the work, putting in the hours, you know? So like, I know even like when we do our live show, we always have somebody, you know, typically we usually do like an opening podcast too that will open for us. And, you know, and that's why we started doing double dates, so that we could start, you know,
getting
exposure and, you know, but also just, sharing the wealth. You know,
absolutely. Absolutely. We got to help each other out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
Love it. And also, I think the stat is like only 28% of people listen to podcasts. So there's so much room.
So much room. Yeah, there's room for everybody. My only thing is, if you are gonna like, we have like a tagline: "History is a bag of dicks." Mm. And I heard somebody use it on their podcast the other day. Oh. It was probably about a year or two ago, and I was just like, "The fuck!" Oh. Like if she then would have been like, "That's what Queen's podcast says" or something. Yeah, then it's like whatever. But I was like, okay, I know you didn't come up with that yourself.
There is a line.
There's absolutely
a line, you know, because there are so many different ways to cover any particular subject, right? Like there's a bunch of dating podcasts, but those dating podcasts aren't like ours. If a dating podcast came out and it had the exact same format, if they did the exact same thing, they did fuck, marry, kills, and they did a true crime segment at the end, that would be a different situation, because it's like, okay, there is a line between saying like you inspired me and saying like I'm completely ripping off your work.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, we all know, I don't know if Katie knows. We could say it after we record. We all know the very popular show that ripped off an indie podcast and didn't credit them.
Yeah, edit it out. Who are y'all talking about?
Oh, we'll tell you after we finish recording.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody
want to text me?
It's spicy. It's something that still like keeps me up at night, where I'm like, ugh.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it can happen to anyone, you know, as far as, you know, that's mm-hmm. concerned. But again, I think that, you know, for the most part, and I think that this is the experience we've all had, is that for the most part, most people are supportive. They want to cross promote. They want to, you know, support each other and build together. And again, there's plenty of opportunities out there for listeners and on both sides, you know.
Yeah. And the space is growing and growing the space is growing and growing. It's not showing any sign of stopping. So there's room for us all. And we just all need to support each other and credit each other whenever we borrow from each other.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So if I listen to a podcast or research something, I always make sure to link to that podcast in the show notes.
Oh, yeah. We do too. Like, we always put it in our show notes or in our on our sources on our website.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So bringing it back to dating, do you have any friends that are out on the scene? Do you have any friends dating?
Yeah, I have a couple of friends that are struggling. I have a friend that is in Chicago, and she has been there almost a year and has not gone on a single date. Ooh. And I'm feeling really bad for her. And she's gorgeous, but like her standards are so high. But you don't want to tell your friend like lower your standards, you know? Like, she's 5'10", and so she has a very strict rule about a guy having to be taller than her. And I was like, okay, I get it, but I feel like you should maybe give someone a chance that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they're also 5'10". Like, I'm 5'2", so I've never had to deal with that. But
same as a shorty, because I'm like 5'3 and a half, 5'4". But I do remember having this conversation with Christina when she was dating, because she's 5'8". And I know that that was, and I know that that stemmed for Christina specifically, and of course you can speak for yourself, but I know that that mostly stemmed from you having negative interactions with guys who are insecure about being shorter than you. But I do remember you having a rule about that in the beginning, that you wanted someone who was taller than you when you were wearing heels. And I did say, I was like, well, but what if like someone is perfect for you in every way, but they're an inch or two shorter than you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, would that really be like the be all and end all deal breaker?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it obviously isn't. I mean, Eric's 5'10". So, you know, most heels, I'm going to be kind of looking down at him or whatever, but it so doesn't matter. It's not, you know, that big of a deal for me, but I know that's such a huge thing in dating. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know where that comes from, especially for girls wanting a guy that's taller.
I think it probably stems from, we could go into psychology of society, like, you know, just probably, you know, you want a man that's going to keep you safe.
Who's protector,
blah, blah, blah. So you think of a guy that's bigger than you. And like, that's probably what it comes from, which doesn't really apply to modern day society, but I'm sure that's what it stems from. Yeah.
The patriarchy.
My husband's not protecting me from shit. He's like almost a foot taller than me, but he's not,
It's not protecting me from anything. Exactly.
Like. Yeah, I think it is psychological because that's what I've heard a lot of tall women say is that they want someone, especially when you move through the world as a tall woman, you know, when society kind of like really values this like small petite frame on women in general, unless you're a supermodel, right? Like when you move through the world that way all the time, you want somebody who's going to make you feel smaller. I've heard people actually say that like when they hold you, they want to feel smaller because that's what we deem to be more feminine, more like womanly is to be smaller, you know, which is bullshit, of course. And we know that, that's the society that we live in. I think.
Yeah. And my tall friend, like we've had this conversation. She's like, I know, but I'm just not attracted to guys that are shorter than me. And I guess, you know, you really can't. But I'm just like, you're just discounting so many people in the world. Like,
right. I feel the same way. I feel exactly the same way.
She's like, that's really easy for you to say down there. I'm like, okay.
Oh, like,
that's fair too.
Yeah.
She's like, have you ever even,
because I've never had to date a guy shorter than me because they don't typically come shorter than 5'2", you know, like, so, I mean, some do, but like, not a whole lot that I've interacted with. So yeah. So she's dating. I have another friend who, cause I completely missed the Tinder of it all. Like when when I was still single, I didn't even have a smartphone. So like apps weren't a thing. I was on the website Plenty of Fish, but I never, no, or was it OkCupid? I was on some website.
www.okcupid.com.
But yeah, you could only do it like, but like I had never even gone on a date with anyone from there. I had just like signed up and I never did. And so I kind of feel like I have FOMO for the dating apps just because I'm like, that seems like a fun game. My friend that lives here in Austin, sometimes when she and I will go get like coffee or something, she'll be like, you want to help me? Look at Tinder, and I'm like, yes.
I sure would. I would love to.
Yeah, because back when I was still single, even if you were on one of those websites, you didn't tell people that's where you met. You know, like
it's so funny. There was so much stigma.
It's so different now, and so like, I mean, I'm very happy in my relationship, but yeah, like sometimes I'm like, oh.
But you know what? The thing is. The few times that I've been allowed to like be on someone else's like app and swiping, I'm like, I would be awful at this because I like it's a left swipe for everybody. Like I'm just like,
Well, I like, you know? I think I would just fuck up because I'm dyslexic as hell and I don't.
Oh no!
Like whenever
gone the wrong way.
Yes, I know I would. I know. Like I'm probably that's probably good because I would have ended up on dates that I was just too embarrassed to be like, I actually meant to say no to you. Like off the top of my head, I really struggle to know which way is left and right.
Me too. I have to do the L.
My ring. Well, yeah, but you see, when you're dyslexic, they both.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's so funny because I get that advice all the time. They're like, which one is the L? I'm like, they're both L's.
I don't know.
Dyslexic.
By my writing hand. I'd be like, I would literally go, okay, right. I write too. With my right.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do. And so
now that I wear a rock and I got this big old ring on my finger, that helps me remember. But I was at a boxing class the other day and like had the boxing gloves on and they were like, with your left. And I was like, fuck, I can't see. Like, this one? Like,
You know, but I do understand that whenever you've never used the apps before, that you're kind of like, oh, that's so interesting. Like, because it does, I mean, and it's why it's so appealing. One, the gamification of it seems fun, but then it does like open your world up in such a way that like those of us who dated pre-app, I mean, and it's a blessing and a curse, but like those of us who dated before the apps, it's like our worlds were much smaller, which in some ways is good because it limits the amount of choice. You can have like choice overload where it's like you've got way too many options and people just swipe, 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 swipe. But on the other hand, it opens you up to meeting people you never would have met. Like Christina would not have met Eric almost certainly not, you know, without the apps.
And especially now, you know, with more people working from home, more people having remote, like, because, you know, people used to just meet each other at work or meet each other through friends or like at a happy hour and stuff. And, you know, with the world just being more remote now, too, it's harder to just meet somebody in the quote unquote traditional way. So mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely like gamifies it. I remember like if anything positive I could say about the apps is like you do get that dopamine hit, you know, when you're like, people like
me. Oh, I gotta
me.
Like. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm desirable. But yeah.
It's, you see, but my self-esteem is such that it's gonna like ricochet. It's gonna like rubber band back on me where I'm just like, but I wanted to date this guy and he didn't like me because we didn't yeah. match. Like, I have such a negativity bias in my brain that like I could get a million matches spiral. And still be upset about those ones.
The one guy that, yeah. Yeah. But no, so I missed that. I did come prepared with, even though I don't have a whole lot of bad dates that I'd want to talk about, I did come prepared with one story.
Ooh.
You want to hear that?
Amazing. Yes.
Yes.
Lay it on us. Okay.
This is about the only guy I ever ghosted. Because I feel like ghosting is so fucking rude. I've already told y'all, like, I believe that in being mindful of people's time, being mindful of people's feelings, and showing people you value them. So I think ghosting is like the rudest fucking thing you can do. Mm-hmm. I have like just been like, I need to get this over and just send a text, which I haven't always thought is the classiest, but sometimes you're just like, I just have to get this over with, so it's fine.
Even if you have right. to send a text and block, because you're just like, at least the person knows, like, but you're like, yeah. I don't want any
at least, yeah, that just left like mm-hmm. not knowing what happened, I think is just so fucking rude. But yeah. I did ghost one guy. One Ooh. Time.
Okay.
So in college, I worked at a karaoke bar, and it was a really popular spot. And this guy, I can't remember how we, I think it was like something like we had a mutual friend on Facebook or something, and we both commented on something, and so we slid into my DMs. This would have been like 2008 or something.
Okay. That's and, a very 2008 way to meet somebody is like via 100%. Facebook comment.
Mutual friends. Yeah. And so like, I was like, oh, this guy wants to talk to me, but I don't know. I was just like, I get off at 10, come get a drink at my bar. And if we vibe, then yeah, we'll see. So he came, but he was cute. He was nice. He was fine. I wasn't like somebody that was like going to immediately turn my head, but I was like, oh, he's fine. He's nice. And when I got off, he bought me a drink. And then he was like, do you want to go to Waffle House? And I was like, fuck yes, I want to go to Waffle House. Are any of y'all from the South at all?
Ohio.
Yeah, Southern Missouri. So, yeah, we definitely familiar houses, with yeah. the Waffle House. Waffle smothered and covered, house. Baby. Let's go. Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, capped. I like them mm-hmm. capped with the mushrooms. Mm. But no, we don't have a Waffle House in Austin. It's really annoying. But
rude. So, we do either here.
Yeah, no. I was just like, yeah. Let's go to Waffle House. And it was fine. And then after Waffle House, we got a couple more drinks before he took me home. And I did make out with him in his car. And I was like, I shouldn't have done that. Was it just the Waffle House? I don't know.
not the drinks. Not the drinks. Definitely the waffles. Yeah.
The Waffle House.
Waffle House talking. Sorry.
Yep. And so, and then... Like, when we were in his car, a Queen song came on, and I love the band Queen. And so, anyway, that is important later on in the story. He dropped me off, and he was like, do you want to get together again? I was like, sure. You know, I didn't think he was that good of a kisser, but I was like, you know what? People can get to know each other better and, like, work on that kind of stuff. So, that's not a deal breaker. It's fine.
Sure, yeah.
And so, we set a date to go see a movie later on that week. And so during the time leading up to that week, he texted me and called me non-fucking-stop. And it was like, y'all, I was in school and working two jobs. Mm-hmm. So, like, I didn't have a whole lot of downtime. And yeah, it was just – I was trying to be polite. But, like, one time he – this is where the Queen comes back. I hate voicemails. He left me a voicemail.
He was singing?
Oh, nope.
Bites the dust, like, while he was just in his car. And he was just like, I just thought of you. And just, no, he just put the phone up to, like, his radio and left me, like, a two-minute voicemail.
No.
Bites the dust.
No.
And, like, I get that was coming from a very sweet place, but I was cringe. Just like.
That's cringe.
Why the fuck? Like, just text me. Another One Bites the Dust came on, cringe. And I thought of you. It was so cringe. Okay, so we go on a date again. Actually, I can look up what year it was, because okay. we go to see yeah. the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I'm really dating myself.
Oh,
here.
I love that movie.
Let's see when that was.
That was definitely
out.
one of those movies that, like, whenever it's on TV,
there you go.
We'll keep mm-hmm. it on.
Always. Okay, that came out in April 2008. So yeah, this was 2008.
Okay, yeah. Here we go.
So we go see this movie, and we get lunch first. I'm just sort of like, this guy's kind of getting on my nerves, but he's sweet, whatever. So you know in Forgetting Sarah Marshall when we see yep. Jason Segel full frontal nudity?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh!
This man put his hand over my eyes.
I'm
like, he was
dead.
Trying to
Am
be
I your child.
He was trying to be flirty and cute, but I was so not into it. And he could tell from my body language that I was so not into that. And he was just sort of like, and then, like, it happens again at the end of the movie. And so he acted like he was going to cover my eyes again. And I was just like, I have to. And so, like, afterwards, he was like, do you want to go get a drink? And I was like, nope.
No.
I got to study. I gotta go. And he kissed me. I let him kiss me, even though, like, I think he could tell from my body language that, like, do not want to be doing this. Yeah. But I didn't stop him. Like, he didn't do anything inappropriate or anything. And I'm sure this guy was very nice, but just, like, I can't even remember his name. But it was just, like, after that, I was like, I am never seeing that guy again. He didn't do anything horribly offensive. He didn't do
it. It's not right.
Just, I had the
ick. And it just, like, wasn't right.
So hard.
He was trying way too hard.
Yeah. And he just, like.
Yes.
And he was just, like, blowing up my phone, and it just, like, and I ghosted him after that. And then maybe, like, 6 months later or something, I was just casually seeing this other guy, and I bumped into him when I was out with that guy.
Oh. No.
And Ooh. When I got home, I had a Facebook message from him being like, I saw you with him, and I just why did you stop talking to me and stuff like that? And I never responded. I was actually like, I am going
to
respond.
But then you forgot. That happens to me all the time where I'm like, I'm going to respond. I'm going to respond. And then too much time has passed. Yeah. It's like a week later and you're like, well, now it's too late. It would be rude. It'd be more rude for me to respond now.
So. Yeah. And he's already seen that I've read it and I didn't like.
Oh, no.
I know. So, yeah, yes, that is the only time I ever ghosted a guy.
No, I mean, it's coming on super, super strong, you know?
And I just, and so was my ick.
Yeah.
The ick was strong. Like, and I feel so bad because he didn't do anything necessarily.
The voicemail on your face, like, to cover your eyes, like, it's all stuff, like, I can tell he's trying to be flirty. Like, to me, like, that's like, oh, he's trying to be flirty, but it's too much. Like, you're coming on so strong.
Too much, yeah.
And I think that this is an important point, which is that you weren't ready to be in a relationship, because had that been the right guy, you would have laughed about it.
Yeah.
Had you been in the
totally
right space, but you're like, literally, I'm working two jobs, I'm... you know, in school, all these things.
Yeah.
So, that is truly one of those things that if it had been the right guy.
Exactly. If the chemistry had been there, I may have been like, haha, and like covered his eyes back, you know, or something, but it just wasn't it. And, so I just never saw him again, never texted him back again.
Well,
never returned
sir, wherever
calls
you are,
again.
Wishing yeah, you like peace said, and love. Hope you're all right.
Yes.
He's still thinking about
I
you.
Hope,
he's got a shrine to
I
you.
I hope
in
he's
his
found
closet.
Some.
So, Katie,
yeah,
why did you
he's
stop?
Found
why?
Oh, no.
He's got his ticket stub from Forgetting Sarah Marshall in there. A shadow box.
Oh, no.
Oh. A Waffle House receipt.
He's got, yeah. Like a Waffle House?
Yes.
Receipt. He cries every night. Yeah.
It's in a scrapbook covered in tears. Yeah.
Oh, no.
You can't hear another one bites the dust without.
We change the station. Having...
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What's wrong with you? I can't hear this song.
I can't hear this song.
Oh, my God.
Katie, it's been like an absolute honor.
This was so much
this
fun.
Has been so much,
I love
so
talking much fun. To y'all.
Oh, honestly. Same.
we would love for you to share with our listeners where they can find Queen's Podcast, where they can find you.
Yeah, we are everywhere. Everywhere you get your podcasts. We also have a Patreon. We have a Facebook discussion group where I will not be sliding into your DMs or anything. That's very active. If you, you know, I feel like people don't realize how many female presenting people are into history. And so it's often an overlooked space, but I have found it to be one of the most engaging communities in the world. The history girlies are very loyal. So come join us. We are a lot of fun. Yeah. So wherever you get your podcasts, we have a blog, we're on all the social medias. Come find us. Come hang out.
Yay. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend that TikTok. Get on that Queen's Podcast TikTok. That's right. It's very entertaining. Oh,
thank you.
Well, yeah, and if you guys have anybody that we should interview, if you want to reach out and just say hello, you can go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworststatepodcast.com, and we love you so much. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, bitches.